My guests, Darren and Brooke Aldridge, will discuss their latest album, Inner Journey, which is their first on Rounder Records. We'll start off this set with Emmy Lou, a tune that they recorded, made a nice video of. You'll hear them discuss that. The entire album, we'll hear several more cuts from them before the end of this hour. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. There you just heard a new cut from Darren and Brooke Aldridge, my guest. You just heard Emmy Lou, which, by the way, guys, I'm going to introduce you here. That is a great video, too. A great selection for that. And I'm so happy to welcome back, always, to Unreal Bluegrass, Darren and Brooke Aldridge. How have you guys been?
Hi, we've been doing wonderful. It's so good to get to talk to you.
Yeah, I know. I've missed you guys. I didn't get to see you last year. I was in Raleigh for about 22 hours, and I think I actually timed it down. Just long enough to hand out an award, and then I had to run back to court back in those days when we still had places to run to.
Yeah.
I wanted to be there to hand out that award because I just think how many times you get to do that. So, yeah, I haven't seen or talked to you in a while. I had a lot of great music. I got this new album that I've enjoyed thoroughly, Inner Journey. Your first one on Rounder, right?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's got you. I know, I think we've talked about this before, if not in person, maybe on the radio also. You listen to a lot of things that I listen to. And as I go through this album, I hear everything from First Aid Kit, which is the Soderbergh sisters who wrote Emmy Lou, which was the song we just heard, to Richard Thompson, to the Lubin Brothers, to, and Brooke, you write a song on this album.
I did, yes. So yeah. We've tried to write a lot more just in the last couple of years. I mean, we've always included at least one song that we've written on every album that we've ever put out, but definitely you'll see more of that on our next album too. But yeah, we love the covers too, because you know it really resonates with people, and it's good to do songs that are familiar. So
we try to find songs that fit us well, you know, even in some that's not been heard of, you know, or been heard of in a good while, I guess you'd say.
Well, you do, and I've always loved your vocals, and maybe I've talked more about Brooke's singing from the early days, but the harmonies and Darren, your voice is so perfect for these harmonies. You have some wonderful, we might hear some of those tunes later, but on the Lubin Brothers song, and also from Someone's Everything, I think. There's just some great, and Tearstained Letter. There's some great harmony on all, and you guys just fit together so well, and you're choosing all these songs that I think, I know Nancy Griffith, I know Richard Thompson, of course I know Graham Nash, so it maybe it's easy for me to get into it, but the musicality that you're bringing to these things is just is so pleasing to listen to. It's such an enjoyable set to listen to.
Well, thank you. We try to take a lot of time to put together those songs and that would speak to others, and it just, you know, not be a regular album or something like that. It don't sound like we've thrown a bunch together just to make a recording.
No.
All we've looked up to in the past and artists we love, you know, like Emmy Lou and Ricky and Vince, and you know, back to Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and all that kind of style of sound that we kind of carry on. All those albums sounded like that, you know. It's good choice of material, and that's been steeped in us so much by listening to that. But it's just innocent. It's got to come out that way, I reckon.
The very song that we heard there in the beginning, Emmy Lou, that my First Aid Kit I know of, and I've got their last two albums, I think, and I always wonder how those songs, I did a little bit of looking into how they wrote that song. It was for a festival honoring Emmy Lou, and then they're from Sweden, and the interesting music that they do, I don't know how to categorize it, but how does a song like that come to you from the Soderbergh sisters, because I can't pronounce their first names, but basically First Aid Kit.
Yeah, well, we actually kind of stumbled upon their music really by accident. I mean, we would have loved them, I think, even if we had found them other ways. But Kyle Cantrell had actually, we were doing an interview with him, and he was telling us about a song that Emmy Lou had cut years ago, and he had asked us if we'd heard it. So when we got out of the interview with him, we started searching for it on YouTube and actually came across the song Emmy Lou. And I was like, well, I wonder what that is. So I clicked on it, and it was the First Aid Kit version of that song. And they were singing it for Emmy Lou at the Kennedy Center?
Yeah, some sort of festival or some event. I don't know what it was, but
Something like that. And I just fell in love to the lyric, and I started looking more into their music and realized that they had written it, and I think specifically for Emmy Lou, too. But But yeah, I thought it really encompassed, you know, everything that Darren and I, you know, are as a couple.
And it fit us very well. Mm-hmm. So we thought we'd record it and do it as a duet too. So it talks about the duets, you know, from Emmy Lou and Graham and Johnny and June. So why not throw Darren and Brooke in there?
I think so. And it's a great video. I love the video that came out not long after the single was released. I think what a perfect video that was. It pulls everything in the song together without having to live the lyrics out. I don't know who did the video for you, but it was a real nice job.
Well, thank you so much. We had fun in Nashville getting to do it that day, didn't we?
We did, yes.
I think you guys have fun everywhere. I will tell you, there's a one of the songs on here that it might be yours. It might be yours, Brooks. Someone's Everything, that just has such a positive feel to me, and that's how I feel when I see you guys and when I hear you. And maybe that's why you wrote the song. But I mean, to me, it just has a. If the listeners haven't seen Darren and Brooke Aldridge perform and you haven't met them, that's just the constant vibe I get from you guys. And any setting I'm in with you, it's just a kind of an uplifting feeling to me.
Well, thank you. That's when we started as Darren and Brooke Aldridge a long time ago, that's what we set out to do in our music, was to create a positive and uplifted vibe every time, we get on stage. That's how we view life in general, because there's so much negativity in the world anyway. And we just thought that's what we have to do through our music and get that out there to people. And we've been able to do that. So we're very blessed in that sense that people have really accepted that, you know, and not just thought that we're cheesy or... It's very genuine.
That's the reason I went out of my way to say, I know that. It's not an act that you're putting on. This is what you're hearing in the music to the people listening. And if you don't know Darren and Brooke Aldridge, I will raise my hand and swear this is exactly how they are all the time, because I've seen you enough at different events and in different events at Raleigh, this is how you guys are, and it's what you convey, and it's what you seem to do what you want to do in your music, and it's right there. It just feels good to me when I hear it. The music is great, and the singing is great, and all these choices from you even have Doc and Rosalie, and on the last cut you do on the first cut, Vince Gill. Earl Scruggs, one of those tunes from, I think, the, must have been the, was it the Earl Scruggs Review, or was it the Earl Scruggs and Friends?
Family and Friends record.
Yeah.
It just, you have a couple of tunes on here from, at least one by Gretchen Peters and one she contributed to, is that, and Nancy Griffith. We talk about these songwriters forever, because it's really the performance and the singing, because I've heard almost all these songs, and I love mm-hmm. your way of doing it, but is Gretchen Peters shows up on here a couple of times, I as a co-writer and also an author of one song.
Right, yes. The first one that we stumbled upon was the When You Love Someone.
Mm-hmm. And I heard that song in a movie, actually.
We did. Just thought, it fit me and Brooke very well in our style of singing and playing. We got to do the Country Family Reunion shows a couple years ago for RFD channel, and Bill Anderson hosted that. He wasn't familiar with the song when we done it, but he just thought that he asked if we wrote the song first, and we told him it was Brian Adams and Gretchen Peters, and he said, well, it's just like they wrote that song for y'all. That was a great compliment.
It is. You know what, there's a lot of songs on here on this Inner Journey album, which is on Rounder. I need to repeat your first one on Rounder. There's a lot of songs that, and it's your skill, it's your ability to make these things, but they sound like a lot of them were written for you. Now, I've happened to be a huge fan of Nancy Griffith and Trouble in the Field, and other people have been covering some of the songs she made famous recently. Valerie Smith did From a Distance. I know Bette Midler won the award for it, but to me it's always a Nancy Griffith song. I got to feel you guys listen to her some.
Yeah. Well, and Rounder is actually doing a record for Nancy Griffith this year?
They talk about doing that, yes, kind of a tribute record with a lot of different artists doing her songs, so I hope we'll fit into that category at some time.
Well, that'd be great, yeah.
Yeah.
I have about a linear foot of CDs from Nancy Griffith from over the years, and Trouble in the Field is one of those songs, if you haven't heard it, it's... it's, say, a Dust Bowl type of time. People are losing their land, but they're still going to make it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess from knowing you, that's maybe part of the appeal, not just the vocal qualities that you bring to it, but I think probably, too, the fact that, yeah, it's just like, you know, whatever your situation, and you're someone's everything, and this is tough, and it's a man and a wife are going to make it work through the field, you know?
That's right. I love that.
Again, Richard Thompson, I mean, you are really, you've always done things like this. I have a live album that I still drop in to play every once in a while where you do Neil Young. I don't know anybody else that's doing that song from Neil Young, but you're, and I love it. I love the energy. And that's an old, that's a live, how long ago was that? I don't remember. I should have looked at all these things.
That was probably in 2013.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me. So you guys pull in so much kind of, here's where I want to go with this question. How does it take you to put together the songs that you think fit? And when you put them on Inner Journey, you feel comfortable with them. Is it a constant search, or when you have a new project, do you think, let's do this, or you just pull out things that you've always been attracted to?
Well, we constantly try to look at songs, or a lot of people send us a few tunes, or we stumble across them, and then when it gets crunch time and we need to pack in more, then that's when we start, you know, unpacking some of the folks that CDs have been sent to us, or go through emails and drop boxes that we've got and start narrowing down the 50 that we like down to 20, you know, then down to maybe 12. So it's hard. And we always go in and record, you know, like on this record and the one before. So we'd record 15 or 16 songs, and then see which ones really mash up good, that we've recorded and tracked good, that fit together in sync, you know. So we always have a few that's left over that we may use on the next album, or hold back for another album that they fit in good with. So it's a constant, you know, process. During this time of COVID and all, me and Brooke's been writing a whole lot more since we've been home, and we've got five or six pulled back that's ours that we may be recording on this next record, you know. That's time we've never really had since we've been together and been married, and doing our band has been able to have that much time to write at home and put the thought process behind that.
That's what a lot of people, right when it all started and everything shut down, as I had guests on, I would, because it really happened in like a day. It was like, I remember it was like a Thursday, Friday, then that next week it was, everything was closed, and the venues were closed, and the tours were canceled. So I would just bring it up toward the end about, you know, so besides the obvious fact that you're not going to be out singing, which I think is very difficult performing, you have to be used to that personal feedback. But I also, many of them have said just that. They're going to be home. They're going to be writing. They're going to be kind of spending some time with their family and can't be on the road much as they want to be. That they kind of turned it into a plus, which is what you're saying. You're writing more and more. I know you're doing things on Facebook and you're doing all kinds of shows that you can over the internet, but it's surprising how many, I guess, the creative juices still flow. And maybe if you're home, you have more of an opportunity to sit and just, you know, like you said, you got five or six now that are probably good to go.
Yeah, we've enjoyed it too. You know, we've even pulled some of our favorite songwriters from past albums in to kind of help us with some stuff too. So we don't know what the next album might hold, but we're excited to put some more original tunes on a few of those. So
the I want to cut here in a little bit to Tearstained Letter, which is the Richard Thompson song, and we'll lead up to you introducing that however you care to. But again, Richard Thompson is someone that he's been borrowed. He's been sampled for bluegrass hits in the past, and not the least of which is Vincent Black Lightning. So, I mean, he gets around through all kinds of music and just a great writer. But Richard Thompson, is that one of those artists? I think we listen to the same thing, so I'm trying to figure out if you listen to Richard Thompson as much as I might, or where do you pull that song from?
Well, it was just you know, his version and his guitar playing and, you know, the couple songs like that you say it's been done. And that was just a great version. We also worked with Joel Sonnier that did a hit off that song too. And just, we heard him on the country music cruise we got to do with Opry about 3 years ago.
Oh, cool.
On there. And that song brought to life, you know, and it's like, man, that's really got a really good, you know, head to it. That constant melody with the fiddle would work mm-hmm. really good. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of Colin Baton Rouge, how it had that same yeah. melody like that. Yeah. And Brooke brought to my attention, I'd never heard it, but Patti Loveless had a country version of that on one of her albums. It was kind of a B-side, and she played a lot live. I don't know that she actually released it as a single. But we kind of looked through, and nobody had ever really done a bluegrass-style version of it. So we needed an upbeat tune, and, of course, Brooke sang the fire out of it. Mm-hmm. Aubrey played the fire out of the fiddle on the record, so it was, you know, a real positive thing for us.
It's almost, I have an arrow pointed up in my notes, which means it's an up-tempo. It's almost like a dance. When you mentioned that reference there, it's almost like it's a dance. I mean, it would be a nice square dance if we could have square dances. Someone could use that as a call, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a great live song because people, you know, it really gets the audience engaged because it, like you say, gets your toes tapping, makes you do want to get up and dance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one more thing about Richard Thompson that I want to play Tearstained Letter from Inner Journey from my guest today, Darren Brooke Aldridge. His left hand, I think, is the strongest left hand I've ever seen. If you've got to see him play, and I mean that from all, he'll play a 12 string, and here's the reason I say this, and you guys will know this playing instruments. I've sat pretty close to him. And he changes chords so quickly, but and I'm not imagining this because I'm hearing this not through an amplifier, not through the speakers. I can see his hands. You never hear his fingers slide. He's picking his hand up and moving it every time.
Wow.
You know that sound you get when you slide because you got to get there quickly? It never happens with him.
Hmm.
You got to look for it. It'll break your heart if you're trying to mimic it because he's got the strongest left hand I've ever seen.
Wow, that's what I was going to say, is now we're going to have to go look it up after you.
I've sat pretty close to him, and I'm thinking, I don't hear those little slides. And, you know, when your fingerprints kind of come down the wound strings, he'll play a 12-string, and you can't hear anything because he's lifting his fingers up enough off of the strings, moving down and clamping on that neck position. Enough about Richard Thompson. Let's play a great version that you guys do of his song, Tearstained Letter, then I'll be back and talk to you some more.
Okay. All right.
All right, there you just heard. We talked a lot about Tearstained Letter from the brand new Inner Journey album. Darren and Brooke Aldridge were my guests today, and there you just heard it. I enjoy the fact so much that you guys seem to enjoy the music that you do, and even that song, and then the Leuven Brothers tune, which is, you know, those are incredible harmonies. And it's kind of sad. Some of the songs are kind of sad, but I don't ever listen to the music that you guys record, and I don't feel blue about it. Even if it might be a sad song, I don't feel blue about it. Maybe that's just me because I know you. But, I mean, is it a purpose?
No.
Not really, no.
That song had such a good blend for us and good harmony, and it's a chance for us to invite Jimmy Fortune in to the studio. We've been working with Jimmy for the last few years and collaborating with him, and that's just such a strong trio, the way we built it up, and Jimmy's voice is just powerful as Brooks is, so it was a win-win, I guess you could say.
Well, and I guess from my take and standpoint, I just thought if Darren ever did leave, that's really how I would feel. So, but it's not going to happen. So.
I don't think it will. I enjoy this album so much, and it came out in 2019, and with everything going on in the world, we just haven't had a chance to catch up, so I'm glad to finally grab you. Appreciate your time. I will make this announcement, Darren, since we set this up, you've been elected to the board of IBMA, which congratulations. I know you're both involved in IBMA, but Darren, you're going to be a great fit on the board.
Well, thank you so much. I know you served time on there as well.
I served time. I used to tell people when I was up for parole, I got paroled after 4 years. That's the way I put it.
I know you'd appreciate that.
I know. All right. Yeah, so congratulations. And so right now, I guess we're still in a holding pattern as far as anybody can get the album. They said, go to a website. Is it on a website for Darren and Brooke Aldridge? Is it on Rounder? Where can people find it waiting for you to come back on the tour?
You can find it on our website, and we'll sign a copy and mail it out to you. If you want to download it somewhere, you can do that on iTunes, Amazon, stream on Spotify and Pandora and Amazon Music, or all those good things.
Well, I think they should do that. They should do that.
We think so, too.
I'm not allowed to actually do a call to action, but I will just tell you, if you're listening to this conversation and any of the music surrounding it, you're going to want to sample it enough to say I ought to take that home with me. And heck, if you can sign them, you know, what better way to do it than that? I think that would be a great way to combine the two. I've enjoyed all the music that you guys have put together over the years. I enjoy the heck out of seeing you perform live. This is one of those years I'm probably not going to get to see it, but you know, we'll all be back. We'll be back again. We'll be back on the road, and I'll meet you down the road somewhere, hopefully. And then maybe by then you'll have some more songs. You'll, of course, cover the album, but you'll have a couple more songs that have come about because of this isolation period.
That's right. We think so.
Let me go ahead, Brooke.
I was just going to say, we look forward to getting back out and seeing people and hugging necks and, you know, just back to normal. So
I have to tell you this, the coolest thing. It was in 2018, and I got a nice present down in Raleigh, and this totally stunned me. And as I'm walking off the stage in the dark when you can't see, it was Darren and Brooke, the first people I run into, and I'm total stunned. And it couldn't have been a better way to open my eyes in the darkness to see both of you guys off stage, and it just meant the world to me that you were both there and helped me find a box for the piece of hardware I picked up, and it's just made that much more enjoyable to me.
That's right. Yeah, good time, man. We're glad to be there to greet you.
It was great. Let's talk a little bit more about the album, and then I want to get to one more cut that we've identified and talked about pretty much as Someone's Everything. That'll be the last tune that, when I let you go, the audience will hear.
Okay.
We've talked about some of the contributors to the songs. You do Crosby, Stills, and Nash, actually a Graham Nash tune, Teach Your Children, which I know, Brooke, both of you are teachers of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I worked in the school system for 10 years, and I actually am working with an organization now with Early Head Start. So I actually help teachers write their lesson plans and make sure that the kids are learning all that they need to be learning, from the time that they're babies until they go into kindergarten. So I'm really enjoying that job, and it's really important, you know, to help mold children when they're young so they can be successful in life. And Darren loves teaching. He's been doing that now for how long, babe?
Probably 20 years. It's kind of private lessons. I taught with the School of the Arts here in Gaston County for a good long while, and also do a lot to help with the Earl Scruggs Center over in Shelby, and teach a lot of classes that come in and out of there, group classes and school kids, and just education on music in general, and help do tours of the center when I have time to do that. So it's a lot of fun. We both love to be involved that way.
Mm-hmm.
Both of you are always giving back. And I knew you were a teacher for a while, Brooke, and I know that, Darren, you've always given lessons. I did not know about the other instruction that you gave, but I'm not surprised, Brooke, that what you're doing now is giving back to that Early Start concept. Again, that's just kind of, you have people listening, just have to take my word for it. That's just the way you two are.
Well, thank you. We really do love giving back, and I think we get the best of both worlds because we do get to give back to our community, and we also get to share our music with everybody. So it's wonderful.
As performers, what happens during this time? There's so much feedback from a live audience, and nobody's doing it. I know you're doing things online, and thank you for that. And you have a regular thing that you're doing now. But what, as performers, when you don't have that connection with live audiences, there has to be a bit of a letdown.
It is. I mean, especially when everything's shut down, you know, you kind of had to quarantine yourself here. It was hard on me for the first several weeks. Because I've always been, I'm 43 now, and since I was 18 or so, I hit the road, you know, and I used to going somewhere all the time, and it was a struggle for a little while, but we've honed in and got used to it. We've been playing a lot of things, like you say, online and online streaming. We do a show every Sunday night called Sunday Shut In,
mm-hmm.
live Facebook page, but it's very good to perform with a band this past Saturday that we've kind of been talking about putting together and doing a performance together. And we did that Saturday night, and folks can find that on YouTube or on our Facebook page. And very good video quality come out. We had about 10 cameras that was panned on each instrument and each person. Billy played bass with us, Billy G, and Zeb and Samantha Snyder performed with.
I like those two, Zeb and Samantha. They've been on the show a couple times when they were much younger now. They both kind of spin in their own ways. I just enjoy everything that they do.
Yeah, we had a great time playing together and then seeing, you know, people's reactions online to that. So that was a real blessing this past Saturday. So maybe some more things like that will come on this summer and we'll get to do that. But we sure have missed seeing people in person.
Yeah, that's been hard not to have a live audience and hear that response, like when, you know, Darren hits an incredible, you know, solo break or whatever. And that's been definitely hard. But at the same time, it's been neat to still be able to connect to people and know that we're making their day and making them feel better during this difficult time, you know, because it's been good for both of us, like both sides. So
And what you mentioned, Vince, not Vince, I'm looking down at Vince Gill's number on this, a name on this first song. Darren, you were talking about number of cameras. You probably don't mind being called Vince. Brooke might not.
I was going to say that.
But you talked about the number of cameras used. When this all hit, people were trying to get online just to do something and keep touch. But I noticed that the longer we go, the more, not professional, but we could say professional, leading toward that, how a lot of these Facebook or online concerts have gotten better. The sound is better. The camera angles are better. And I think there's going to be a whole new skill set that even when people get to go back on the road, you don't do it that much in the winter, in the dead of winter. I mean, the festival's closed up. There's still some indoor stuff. But I think out of this, we're going to find that maybe some online concerts through whatever social media, the skill set's going to be there that would never had to be there before. That's kind of what I think might be a silver lining.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, we've been able to reach a lot of people in the last couple months from our living room. And a lot of folks that wouldn't have never got to see us play a whole hour set of music, you know, and that's something to be said for that, you know. And so we'll keep up doing those things as much as possible. And it's just a lot of fun, really, to connect and talking back and forth on comments. And it's just like,
yeah,
bring you to our living room and you can ask us questions and talk to us. So it's a fun thing.
A lot more personable, yeah.
Yeah, I think you get some feedback. We talked about missing the feedback of a live audience, but I think once you can handle, first of all, where do you get the comments and how do you have a chance to respond to them? Because they must come in by the thousands. I mean, just people just saying stuff all the time. But I think you get better at that skill also, is which ones to address and how to address several at once. And it does give that feedback. And you can see them again. Many of them are recorded, but they're live. When they're happening, they're live. You're actually seeing, in this case, you're seeing Darren, Brooke, and whoever the other musicians that they are. And it's a live performance.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fun. What I'd like you to do now, I'm speaking to Darren, Brooke, Aldridge, is one more tune. Before we leave the fine audience of Unreal Bluegrass, and this is a tune that you wrote, Brooke, Someone's Everything. I want you to lead into this a little bit and explain to the people what they're going to hear. Then we'll let you go, and we'll play that tune from the latest album, great album, Inner Journey, from Darren and Brooke Aldridge on Rounder.
Yeah, well, this song was actually inspired by a teacher that I had in high school, and this was just a couple of years ago. I was reading through Facebook, as we all do often, and she had written a post, and it was very lengthy, and she actually put at the first of the post that she bet that nobody would probably read this post. But anyways, I always take time to read her post because she always gave great advice. And she was actually sending out advice to her son, who was fixing to graduate college, and he was going to be a teacher as well. And she was telling him, no matter what kind of day he was having or what kind of day the kids were going to have, you know, just to remember that they were all someone's everything. And that just kind of struck home with me because I worked in the school system for 10 years, and I thought, that is so true. And then I tried to relate it to all of us, just, you know, in general, and wrote it from a girl's standpoint, I suppose, because I'm the youngest of three girls. And really wanted to write my mom and dad a song for a long time. But that's kind of the idea of where I got that. And I got to sing it for her right before she retired from the school system. And she just sat there and cried, you know, and and really realized, like, the impact that she had had on me and just so many of her students in the past. But she still loved. We still keep in touch. And I just want everybody to know that you are someone's everything and never forget that. So that's how that song came to be.
It's a great song. Isn't it great to keep contact with some of your school teachers, no matter from what age, that you could still find them and communicate with them?
Absolutely. And I've had so many down through the years that have been a big impact in my life and really, you know, have guided me even in my music. You know, they saw that talent at an early age and encouraged me to do that.
And I'm sure you have students someday, Brooke, that'll come back to you and say, or come back to you and say, well, what about this or what? That must be an incredible feeling. I've never been a teacher, but I think that must be an incredible connection.
It definitely is. Yeah. If you've had an impact on a child, like I said, there's really no better feeling.
Well, I'm going to let you guys go. Thanks so much for chatting on Unreal Bluegrass again. You're always welcome. Frequent contributor to Unreal Bluegrass, and this we're going to play Someone's Everything. Brooke just described it perfectly. It's off of the brand new album Inner Journey on Rounder, and I always enjoy talking to you guys. I hope to see you again soon.
We enjoy talking with you and getting to see you.
Yeah,
thank you for having the show and playing our music.
Yeah, we appreciate your listeners too. So,
well, you guys stay safe, and I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, bye.